Reverend Phil Frisk, the mic is all yours.
Well, thank you, Lynn, and welcome everyone, and happy springtime. Thank you for being here. This is our weekly gathering of Awakening Together. It is a special time every Sunday morning that we join together with all of our members and friends online, right here in the Bell Talk Room. We gather together for a worship service of musical celebration, fellowship, teaching, and contemplation. So, it's our custom to take a few minutes, just as we get started, to greet each other as we join together in our online sanctuary for our weekly assembly. So this is the time, if we were in a physical room instead of a virtual room, we would turn to the people next to us and give them a warm greeting. And as we meet and greet each other in the room, we use the Pal Talk message board and we type in our greetings, salutations, and comments. I'll play some music while we greet each other. Yes, love is who we are. So at this time, we always give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. Barb DeWater is our administrator today, and Barb D may post a link to our website where you may access our purpose and values. Awakening Together is an online universal assembly of equals. We are dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom. We strive to free ourselves from personal beliefs and biases and be open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. You may read more about our purpose and values on our website, and for those who are listening on the radio, the website is www.awakening-together.org, and then look under About Us and Purpose and Values. We have five basic core values, and you may read the full description of our core values on our website at the link that Barb D. posted above. Our purpose is awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern the one truth and to rest in its embrace. And by the way, also listed on the About Us section of our website is the structure of our organization, where you'll find the constitution for Awakening Together. We have a two-tiered management system consisting of a board of directors and a member board of trustees. The member board of trustees has put forth a set of policies governing the organization. And among these policies is a worship services policy, which gives the format of our worship service. Here's what our worship service policy says about holidays. Basically, we do not celebrate religious holidays during our weekly gathering, just the Sunday morning gathering that we are in now. The reasoning is that it may be our tendency to emphasize religious holidays from familiar cultures while leaving out equally important holidays from other religious cultures. And since it is our purpose to be non-partial regarding religion or any spiritual path, we simply will not use our weekly gathering to celebrate the religious holidays. And I acknowledge that today is Easter Sunday in the Christian faith, but to conform to our religious, to our worship services policy, we're not going to give special attention to celebrate Easter or Passover in this service today. Our third core value is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. And we live this value by practicing letting go of belief in individual self as who we are. As we get started, I have a couple of announcements for events coming up. There's a retreat coming up in May, the Choose Again Retreat. It's being held in Canyon City, Colorado, from May 3rd to May 10th. Choose Again's effective approach has helped thousands discover a deeper sense of peace and joy in all aspects of their lives. Usually, people have to travel to Costa Rica to experience Choose Again's attitudinal healing. Now, Choose Again is coming to the United States for a week-long retreat, and it's being sponsored by Awakening Together. Choose Again offers a holistic approach to mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being through attitudinal healing, applied transpersonal psychology, and universal spiritual teachings. When you leave the retreat, you'll have learned a foolproof, or ego-proof, conflict resolution technique, and You'll learn to communicate fearlessly, openly, and lovingly, and learn about the true nature of cause and effect. And you'll also laugh more than you have in years. There's still time to sign up for this retreat, and Barb D. posted the link on our website for this event, so you can go to that link and sign up for this retreat. Also, Timothy Conway is here in the Sanctuary Pal Talk Room this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Awakening Together's guest at this Sunday's online satsang is Timothy Conway. Timothy will also be one of the speakers at the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat in Santa Barbara this September. This Sunday's free online satsang at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's an excellent opportunity to get to know Timothy and interact with him before the September retreat. Regina will be the hostess at today's satsang, and so we hope to see you there this evening in the sanctuary in this Pal Talk room at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, it's time for our opening song. So this is the time to just quiet the mind and put away all the cares of the day and just be here now. Thank you. So for our invocation this morning, I will offer a prayer followed by a very short musical invocation. We look within and realize that we have everything. Our only prayer can be to have that which with which we may share the everything. God created us to be a being with whom He could share everything, and we do the same. We create our brothers just as God has done. We are co-creators, and we create our brothers for the sole purpose of being able to share with them the everything that we are. So the only prayer we can ever offer to the Holy Spirit is this: how can I share the everything I have? If we see ourselves as separate, incomplete, and afraid, and would pray in order to receive, we think of bargaining. Bargaining with our brothers, and above all, bargaining with God. But if God gives everything completely to all beings, how can we bargain? If we would pray only in order to receive, based on our belief in lack and separation, then we'll end up not valuing what we have received. When we give to our brothers, we give to ourselves, for giving and receiving are the same. Amen.
Holy.
This is the time in our worship service schedule for an inspirational reading by a member. And our reader today is my wife, Judy Frisk. And Judy will be reading from chapter 20 of the Message of A Course in Miracles, entitled, The Gift of Lilies.
The Gift of Lilies. Look upon all the trinkets that are made to hang on the body, to cover it, or for it to use. See all the useless things you made for the body's eyes to see, and think of the many offerings you make for the body's pleasure. And then remember that all of these were made to make a body that you hate seem lovely. In your identification with a personal self, you use the body to attract others to you, not recognizing that you are offering yourself fear by trying to justify the body's value to you through another's acceptance of it. Your gift of the body also makes the other worthless to you, because their acceptance and delight in the body acknowledges the lack of value that they place on their self. What you can truly give and receive cannot be given through the body. Bodies can neither offer nor accept, neither hold back nor take away. Only your mind can value, and only your mind decides what it will project or extend, and therefore receive. What you offer with your mind depends on what you want to increase in your awareness. Your split mind will adorn your chosen home carefully, making it ready to receive what you want. If the body is your chosen home, you will adorn it to attract others, to increase separation, guilt, and fear in your awareness. But if you recognize that your mind is your home, you will adorn it with love and extend love to increase love in your awareness. With your mind, you will project or extend what you judge yourself worthy of receiving. What you extend in your perception is an evaluation of your own mind. Your chosen home, mind, or body is an altar to yourself, and you will see in your perception witnesses to your choice that will reinforce your devotion to it. From your mind, you project or extend what you want increased in your awareness. Here is the value that you place on your entire mind, your judgment of what you are. Do not forget that in your perception, you see your condemnation or your salvation. Project fear, and you are crucified. Extend love, and you are free. Your Christ mind has a great need for you to extend love, because you have not yet forgiven yourself your illusions. Your Christ mind cannot offer you forgiveness when you still project guilt and fear and think that they are real. You are against your Christ mind then, and you cannot be whole without your Christ mind. Forgive the illusions that you perceive in others so that you can see your Christ mind and know that you are whole. Look in your mind and see whether love or fear is your chosen home. If you see fear, then the body is your chosen home, and you offer your Christ mind separation. And yet, your mind is not what it was, and if you look closer, fear is gone. You still see with the body's eyes, and all that they can report is separation. But you have asked for and received another vision. You share the Holy Spirit's purpose now, so you also share the Holy Spirit's vision. The Holy Spirit's ability to extend love everywhere is yours now, too. The Holy Spirit does not see separate selves, only one Holy Self everywhere. The Holy Spirit does not see fear, only innocence, shining peacefully on everything that the Holy Spirit loves. This Easter, look with a different vision on your holy relationship. You have forgiven the Christ mind your illusions, and yet your Christ mind cannot use your love while you do not see it. You cannot use what your Christ mind gives to you unless you choose to use it with your Christ mind. The Holy Spirit's vision is not an idle gift to be played with for a while and then tossed aside. Listen carefully. Don't think that the Holy Spirit's vision is an illusion, a careless thought to play with, or a toy to pick up from time to time. If you do, this is what it will be to you. You have the vision now to look past illusions. It has been given to you no longer to see fear, separation, or obstacles to peace. Your fear of God is nothing to you, who can now see your Christ mind in place of the personal mind's projections on the other. With your Christ mind in your awareness, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusions that God can give. What God gives to the Holy Spirit, you receive. Your Christ mind looks to you for release, because you have asked for the strength to look on the final obstacle of your fear of God and to no longer see fear or death. The home that you have chosen is beyond the veil of your fear of God. It is ready to receive you. You will not see it with the body's eyes, yet all that you need to see it you already have. Your home has called to you since time began, and you have never failed to hear it. You just did not know how or where to look for it. Now you know. In you, God lies ready to be unveiled and your awareness of God is ready to be freed from the terror that has kept God hidden from you. There is no fear in love. Easter is a symbol that Christ was never crucified. Lift your eyes with your Christ mind, not in fear, but in faith that only God is real. There is no fear in your Christ mind, because your Christ mind's vision does not see illusions, only a path to heaven, your quiet, gentle, peaceful home.
Thank you, Judy. So the title of my talk today is, What Gift Would You Give to Yourself? A Gift of Lilies? When you give a gift to someone, you're actually giving it to yourself. You and your brothers are one and the same. In chapter 20 of A Course in Miracles, it says, Offer your gift, your brother the gift of lilies, not the crown of thorns. The gift of love, not the gift of fear. You stand beside your brother, thorns in one hand and lilies in the other, uncertain which to give. Join now with me and throw away the thorns. Offer the lilies to replace them. Flowers are a perfect gift for anyone. Even though fresh flowers only last a few days, they are a vision of beauty and demonstrate your love and thoughtfulness. Flowers bring with them specific meanings. Doing a little research before making your purchase can help you send the perfect message. If you want to make a particular statement with flowers, you simply have to unlock the meaning of each breed's purpose. Here are some popular flowers and their meanings. Daffodils. Daffodils signify rebirth and new beginnings. They're a great gift for newlyweds who are making a big change. Mums. Mums signify friendship and happiness. Roses. The significance of roses varies by color. Here are some of the more popular ones. Red roses signify love, courage, passion. Light pink signifies admiration, sweetness, and grace. Hot pink signifies gratitude. Yellow signifies joy. White signifies purity and innocence. And red and white roses together signify unity. Lilies. Much like roses, the meaning of lilies varies by color. Yellow means walking on air, and white means virginity and purity. Every April, Judy and I begin scouring the yard for signs of spring. It's always a delight to spot the first tulip, narcissus, jonquil, daffodil, or hyacinth in blossom. We have little patches of grape hyacinths around the yard. Grape hyacinths produce tiny clusters of dark blue-purple flowers. And they are very hardy, but somewhat invasive, so we dig them out to control their spread. Many years ago, my mother shared a poem with me when I was going through a financial setback. I always remind myself of it whenever I feel anxious. It's called Hyacinths for the Soul. My mother quoted this often, I think because it helped her to remember to see the beauty in life, even when things felt like they were falling down around her ears. Funny thing, this is exactly what it does for me, too. Concentrating on the beauty of the hyacinth, its smell, its color, its perfection of flowers, takes away stress. It feeds the soul and helps make life a wee bit brighter. Combine the beauty of the hyacinth with a poem by Adi, a 13th century Persian poet, You have the best stress relief outside of a bottle. Hyacinths for the soul. If of thy mortal goods thou art bereft, and from thy slender store two loaves alone to thee are left, sell one, and from the dole buy hyacinths to feed the soul. Albert Hubbard said it this way: if I had but two loaves of bread, I would sell one of them and buy white hyacinths to feed my soul. And John Greenleaf Whittier wrote, if thou of fortune be bereft, and in thy store there be but left two loaves, sell one, and with the dole buy hyacinths to feed thy soul. It's a simple poem, it's well known, with various different wordings, that expresses a profound truth, an eloquent expression of the biblical, man does not live by bread alone, though in the biblical version it meant that one should also live by God's word, a moral or spiritual life, not just a physical one. It's nearly impossible to find time for ourselves in our modern world, and yet it's so very important to remember how much we need to feed our souls. There are many ways people nourish themselves spiritually. There's nothing quite like having a flower bloom under your fingers in the middle of winter. So it's always a delight to see the spring flowers, the narcissus, the hyacinths, and the lilies. What is the meaning and symbolism of the lily? Well, dating as far back as 1580 BC, when images of lilies were discovered in a villa in Crete, these majestic flowers have long held a role in ancient mythology. Derived from the Greek word lyron, generally assumed to refer to the white Madonna lily, the lily was so revered by the Greeks that they believed it sprouted from the milk of Hera, the queen of the gods. Lilies are known to be the May birth flower and the 30th wedding anniversary flower. Lilies are also associated with funerals. Lilies symbolize the soul of the departed has received restored innocence after death. Lily of the Valley. Lily of the Valley means you complete me. It's a popular bridal bouquet. Lily of the Valley is a great way to remind your spouse about the commitment you made on your wedding day and how much you mean to one another. To the Chinese, lily means forever in love. The lily was the holy flower of the ancient Assyrians. Until the 16th century, the Madonna lily was the only garden variety known. Because of this, lilies of the field, as mentioned in the Bible, are thought to be this specific lily. Calla lilies signify magnificent beauty. So again, you and your brother are one and the same. When you give a gift to your brother, you're actually giving it to yourself. As it says in the Course in Miracles, offer your brother the gift of lilies, not the crown of thorns, the gift of love, not the gift of fear. You stand beside your brother, thorns in one hand, lilies in the other, uncertain which to give. Well, join with me now and throw away the thorns. Offer the lilies to replace them. Mahatma Gandhi reminds us, he who does not see God in the next person he meets need look no further. Everyone you meet is a reflection of yourself. Teach only love, for that is what you are. Richard Rohr said in his daily meditation recently, hopefully a time will come when the life of Christ will be so triumphant in us that we care more about others than about ourselves. Or better, when there is no longer such a sharp distinction between myself and the other self. Remember that conversion is more than anything else about reconstituted sense of self. As Paul puts it, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, or NTI, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 29, it says, "Know the Christ within, which is the connection that binds the universe to you. Feel the Christ. Know it is love. Put your faith in this awareness, this energy that is all things. Trust in this reality, and you trust in the truth that is your own. Rest and know this love within you. Know you are looking at the truth of all things. Be grateful that the truth has been brought to your awareness. Be willing to see this truth at work in all things. This awareness is the awareness that leads you to know thyself, for that which you are accepting is thyself, and it is all things. As you know its witnesses, you know the truth. Feel that which you desire, that which in truth is the current of all life. Ride the current into the experience and awareness. See that all things are one through you." That from NTI, Colossians. Jesus said, "Let go of the world. Forgive the belief in separateness. Truly, we are one." You can study the mystical truth, all is one, for example, for years. But one day, while you're sitting at your desk, you may find yourself quite suddenly elevated into an altered state of consciousness, in which the entire universe seems to fit inside of you while you see it all around you simultaneously. You are filled with a conscious experience of the truth that all is one, a truth that is literally, divinely incarnating in your blood and bones, in your psyche and soul. In this microsecond of a mystical experience, you realize that the grand cosmic truth has paid you a visit and transformed you. Nothing can or will ever look the same again. In all the grains of sand, you see the universe. And in the universe, you can imagine every grain of sand. No human face will ever look ordinary again. Carolyn Mace pointed out in her book, Defy Gravity, that what Buddha and Jesus attempted to do through their teachings is reveal truths that the ordinary person could grasp and then begin to work toward. Buddha's teaching that all is illusion, for example, is a mystical truth, but not a literal one. If I dropped a large book on your foot, on one level, that would not be an illusion. You would feel the pain of an unabridged dictionary because it's big and heavy. Telling you that the heavy book was an illusion would be ridiculous, at least on the literal level of meaning. But on the mystical level, we must approach the scenario from a completely different angle. When the Buddha spoke about illusion, he didn't mean physical realities such as the weight of one object relative to another. The specific element I believe he was referring to is power. As always, we return to the fundamental ingredient of the human experience, which is the power of your soul and how you manage that power through what you believe. The pursuit of cosmic truth takes on enormous significance when you realize that the great spiritual masters were teaching that mystical truths are the ultimate means of personal empowerment and inner liberation. A mystical truth is not something you learn, but something that is revealed to you. And in the process of revelation, you are transformed by the power of that truth. It becomes a part of your own consciousness. You are no longer separated from divine truth, no longer merely searching for divine truth, for truth has found you and transformed you. Barbara Marx Hubbard said, "To experience the divine potential within you, say yes to it, totally, and actualize it on the behalf of all." Mystical truth gives you the means to learn how to reason as a mystic. Yes, the book hit your foot, but what really matters is whether you lost any emotional or psychological power as a result of my dropping the book on your foot. Could you remain detached from the experience, as Buddha taught his disciples to do? Or did you find the experience so humiliating that you have an issue you now need to process in order to forgive, indicating that you did indeed attach to it? If that's the case, the experience now holds a part of your spirit controlling your emotions, and if instead you had remained detached and in control of your perceptions and your emotions, you might have experienced a physical sense of pain, but you wouldn't take it personally. The real secret to health is not to retrieve your power from all of the injuries of the past, but to become so clear and wise as a soul that you do not need, that you do not lose your power over the illusions in the first place. See clearly. Recognize illusions. Keep your soul intact at all times. Look for God in the smallest detail of your life, not in the grand scheme. You can't comprehend the grand scheme, so don't even go there. Just stay where you belong, clearly focused on the present and the spiritual journey that is your life. Byron Katie said in 1,000 Names for Joy, "The center of the universe is where you are, and it's everywhere. It's the origin and the end point, the beauty of darkness, the exaltation of nothing. Only the center is real." When you understand that, you realize that even oneness is unnecessary. It's like falling in love with yourself. There's nothing to do, no one to be, no responsibility, no meaning, no suffering, no death. You no longer believe yourself to be a separate, distinct polarity, where you identified yourself as a tiny speck making grandiose efforts to prove that something is true. Realizing you've never left the original oneness means that you were never born and you can never die. As Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. Our core value number 2 says, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given the spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. And we live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each other to be where he or she is. We are all the same. without anyone being better than any other, more important than any other. We have compassion for one another, and we are kind to one another. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. We treat each other the way we would like to be treated. We look out for each other. We go out of our way to make sure that our friends are treated equally. We follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Teach only love, for that is what you are. Now it's time for our worship schedule, worship service schedule, for our open meditation and contemplation. So reflect on how when you give anything, whether it be lilies or thorns, you're actually giving to yourself. You and your brother are one and the same. What gift would you give yourself? Give only love. Remember the perfection of all God's creation in restoring your wholeness as this selection of music plays. Oh, and also this is the time when we invite you to give a donation, if you so choose. Barb D. will post a link where you may, if you like, make a donation to Awakening Together. We know that all giving comes from the heart, from you, our members and friends. We are deeply grateful for all gifts and offerings, and donations are tax deductible for U.S. citizens under the IRS code 501c3. So all donations in any amount are truly helpful and deeply appreciated, and we thank you. Yeah, this is great music for contemplation or meditation. So now we have about 15 minutes for sharing. I invite you to share your thoughts based on today's teaching, giving the gifts of lilies to our brothers. Just raise your hand and I'll pass the mic over to you.
Thank you, Phil. What a beautiful teaching. And really, this is exactly the everything that we're here to do. It has really nothing to do with me, to me, the finding myself, the being myself, the being, as it says in our lesson today, that I am as God created me, that I cannot be that unless I am joined with my brother. Because that is part of the allness. And that's what I got when I was meditating to that beautiful music, was just this vision of myself just giving all, including all of my grievances, all of my fears, and all of my imagined upsets, just giving all and dispersing out into the allness. The one ship, as Susan Perkins said. So thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thank you for sharing. And if there's anyone else that would like to take the mic and share whatever they have on their mind this morning, just raise your hand and I'll pass the mic along to you. Kristen Apice. Thank you. Go ahead and take the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. And thank you so much for a beautiful, beautiful sharing and service and everything. And To me, this paragraph in today's lesson, I am as God created me. Paragraph 2 says, today's idea is therefore all you need to let complete correction heal your mind and give you perfect vision that will heal all the mistakes that any mind has ever made at any time or place. It is enough to heal the past and make the future free. It is enough to let the present be accepted as it is. It is enough to let time be the means for all the world to learn escape from time. And every change that time appears to bring is passing by. So to me, when I just bless and see the Christ in every single thought or physical passing of the thought, when I forgive and I connect to the Spirit of God that is within me, that is the truth within me, everything is just worked out if I just step back and let Him lead the way, who I ask to be in charge by my request. And I truly believe that my life is taken care of by God Himself, by Christ, the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that in my heart, and that He is in charge. And I let Him. You know, He can, I can't, and I'm going to let Him. And I'm letting Him. And that to me is just miraculous. And that's all I need to do is listen. And let the thoughts pass like the clouds and not get involved in them. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. So is there anyone else who would like to take the mic and share some comments this morning? Okay, so now I'm the same. Okay, now I'm the same. Go ahead and take the mic.
Good morning. I would just like to say thank you to my brother Jesus, who lives today, right now. Thank you for taking that bold, loving action of not waiting for tomorrow, but living now and loving now. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. So we still have a few minutes for sharing. And if nobody else has anything to share, I can share with you a favorite poem of mine. It's about exploring contrasts. So it's by Billy Collins. Billy Collins is an American poet. He was appointed as Poet Laureate of the United States from 2001 to 2003. And he's known for his funny, ironic poems. So The Lanyard is a poem about a small gift that he made for his mother in summer camp. It seems like a puny gift in comparison to the love that he received from his mother. But through a series of clever, humorous comparisons, you realize that giving this gift was indeed a heartfelt gesture, however inadequate, much like the writing of a poem commemorates a mother's love. Here is the lanyard.
The other day, as I was ricocheting slowly off the blue walls of this room, bouncing from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one more suddenly into the past. A past where I sat at a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard or wear one, if that's what you did with them. But that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted teaspoons of medicine to my lips, set cold face cloths on my forehead, then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim, and I in turn presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said, and here is clothing and a good education, and here is your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is the lanyard I made at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the archaic truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hands, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even.
That's great. I love that poem. It's such a favorite, exploring the contrasts of gifts that we give. So we still have a few minutes. If anyone would like to take the mic, I will pass it over to you. Just raise your hand. Well, okay, so we'll wrap this up, and I'll play our closing song this morning. This is Flight to Freedom. Thank you. So thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for your attendance today. And thanks to our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and to our administrator, Barb DeWater. And then please stay, if you can, and join us for an hour of fellowship right here, right now, in this room. So I'm going to release the mic to you, Lynn.